welcome back or welcome here. You just found the number one Iowa Hawkeye-based entertainment podcast in the world, the entire world. Presser today. KF stepped to the podium to talk about recruiting. People wanted to hear more about the staff and if any changes were going to be made. Obviously, you guys know how that went. We're going to talk about it. Let's have a day. Let's go.
This is the Friendship Podcast, and we're some friends hanging out, talking about podcast shit. What's up, fellas?
Hey, guys. Hey, Kev.
Hi.
Hi.
I say hello, and he just stiffs me like a total dickhead. I mean, I understand he's a stiff to everybody else, but Jesus fucking Christ. We've been on this podcast for 395 episodes. Can't say hello to a guy or what?
How are you doing, Drake?
I'm doing well, now that you said hello. Gary, just found out your dad lived in Muscatine. Shout out to one of the worst places on earth.
There was somebody who actually commented on the YouTube and said, gosh, what were we talking about the other day when we were talking about Muscatine? Something about it. And someone commented, you can just see the sadness in Drake as he tries to come up with something good to say about Muscatine. I was like, yeah, I mean, we can't put a front on. There's certainly some towns, some places that are just better than others, right?
This is Marshalltown and Muscatine, ain't it?
They ain't it, right? Homer Glen, that's
it's halfway to it.
That's a spot, and
decent.
And you know, like Muscatine and Marshalltown, those are spots for certain things.
For meth,
a lot of meth,
and people who look like me.
Yeah, although your appearance has changed drastically since you really claimed Muscatine really like harder than you would now. Although I don't know if your initial look was any better.
It wasn't. I mean, people always told me I looked like I was straight off a meth needle. So, here we are.
And speaking of that, you are you're adding to the ink on the.
Not adding to it, just improving one. Most tattoos to be done very properly take two sessions, and I got the first one done a while back. Got very tired of getting and healing tattoos because it's not a fun process, either one of those things. But decided that since we're headed to LA this weekend for Bader's fight, I'd have a few days off of training. So take Thursday off, Friday, head down there Saturday, Sunday, don't train till Monday, gives a tattoo some time to heal. So I found a window where I didn't have to rub my arm on MRSA-filled mats, and so I decided to get some more ink on a tattoo I've already had.
Sick. When are you going to go full-blown Muscatine meth addict and get some tattoos on your face, though?
Yeah. Soon. The only thing
it frightens me that the answer is not never.
I think I like Post Malone and the Always Tired. I think I might go with Always Tired on under my eyes. I like that one. I kind of like maybe a skull and crossbones on my eyelids. That'd be kind of cool. I wouldn't hate getting the actual white of my eyeball tattooed so that my eyes are just dead black. Mm-hmm. A few ideas.
That's a thing that you can do now? You can tattoo your eyeballs?
Yeah. I don't think it feel very good, but I do believe it's possible.
Well, through God, anything is possible. So
anything is possible. I think I'm going to get fuck Biden and fuck Putin on my cheeks.
Kluber, did you get the Always Sunny reference?
I didn't get that. I didn't know where you were going with that through God. But is that an Always Sunny
quote? That's one of Mac's best quotes right there.
Okay. I didn't catch that. Admittedly, I am not to the same level as Sunny as you are. You're probably one higher than me in the fandom of It's Always Sunny, although I'm pretty up there. You have seen it through much more than I have. I've probably only watched it through like twice, whereas you're probably somewhere at like four or five times through a lot of episodes.
Sure. Yeah.
And so for anybody listening, baby girl is deciding to, you know, spread the joy again tonight, and you can hear her in the back. The wife will get that taken care of at some point here, but god damn it, you just can't shut them up when they're pissed. There's, you know,
codeine crib, close the door.
Yeah, I know, it's just not gonna happen. Let's start it with this. By the way, Drake, on the neck tats or on the face tats, I see, at least in my mind, our relationship, knowing you, I feel like there is a touch of hope that you stay away from the face tats.
Going to stay away from the face and the neck. I can't promise the back of my neck will get stayed away from. There might come a time when I'm like 40 years old and I just say like, fuck it. I want a massive multicolored tarantula on the back of my neck. And at which point nobody can stop me. I'm a grown man. I can have a tarantula or an octopus on my neck or something.
My assessment of you is that neck is a viable area for you at some point. I that would not surprise me.
I have such an irregularly long neck, dude. I have a fucking giraffe neck. And yeah, if I start getting a giraffe neck tatted, it's just going to accent how abnormally long my shit is.
I think it would make you uglier too, honestly.
It would make me way uglier.
Yeah. Oh, Mila, so sweet in the background.
I'm just waiting for the day that Drake turns 45. Maybe he's got a kid or two around, and then he shaves his face, gets a clean haircut, and starts wearing a suit and goes into a 9-to-5 office job. I'm just waiting for it to happen.
Dude, it might happen. It might happen. It's that 100 universe scenario that we've talked about before.
Tell you what, if we elect blue too many times, I'm going to need an office job.
Okay. Well, through, what are we at? We're about to cross over 8 minutes of recording here, 7 with the intro. We have no listeners. There's nobody fucking listening at this point because we've talked about neck and face tats. Drake has mentioned how he doesn't like Democrats twice, and here we are. Though we are, you know, our demographic is quite conservative on the conservative side. We probably still don't have any listeners. So let's get to
the awesome. What do you want from him? What's Spencer doing? Let's talk about him. I haven't seen
him
in a while.
No. Well, he's pretty quiet on the front since I've posed a challenge. I haven't heard anything from him, but
it's crazy.
Not that he would ever waste a breath on me or a single ounce of energy. Kirk Ferentz, the head man himself.
What'd he do?
Step to the podium today.
Uh-huh.
We're going to lead off with this.
Okay.
Because this is the one thing. This is probably what I'm going to title the episode. This is the clickbait title.
Tell me what he said.
This was a recruiting update. This was, dude, I can't keep track of how many fucking signing days there are anymore. I don't know what the signing periods are, when you can talk to coaches, when the portal's open. I don't follow any of that bullshit.
Well, it's called signing day, which is a singular.
There's two signings. So,
there's two of them now.
There's one December now.
Okay.
So I'm confused. Evidently, there was a second one, and I think it was today.
Which is like the traditional date.
I believe so.
This is like when we would have signed if we had offers.
Right. If someone wanted us to sign something. Right.
Right. Exactly.
They didn't. Even through most of our college career, no one was interested in us signing really anything.
Shout out to the walk-on mentality, though.
Yeah. Shout out to that walk-on energy. T-shirts coming soon. So, obviously, first time since.
Did we get anything back on Herky's dick?
Walk-on
energy?
No, I didn't even decline the things yet. What Drake is referencing there is yesterday in our DHT episode, we did come up with an idea for a craft beer.
Or an energy drink.
Of which neither Drake or I drink.
Why not both? Combine them. A craft beer energy drink.
Four Loko.
Essentially, we'd like to create our own brand of Four Loko that is called Herky's Dick. And we'll leave it at that. If you want to hear the rest of that conversation, in fact, and Grant, G Money,
bent on some Herky's Dick.
G Money is now going to start cutting clips for the DHT episodes, ones that sort of ride the fence. They don't go too crazy because we do get a little bit wild in there. Let me tell you, yesterday's episode was it was something.
It was Jihad's first day on the job, man. We had to welcome him.
We did. We did. We had to christen him a little, I believe, is correct terminology there. And somehow we got to an energy drink / craft beer called Herky's Dick. Baby girl is just giving mom hell right now. I don't know if you guys can hear that. It's not good. So join DHT, join the Patreon if you want to hear more about that. You asked if we got any response back on that. No, we are trying to get a little bit of a spring run done or put together for some merchandise. Who knows what shows up on there? Who knows what doesn't? Kirk Ferentz hasn't talked to the media since after the bowl game, post bowl game. We won that bowl game. Everything was happy. It was all good. Sweet. Obviously, the big speculation at this point, nobody gives a shit about recruiting, even though that's what today was supposed to be all about. It's all about staff changes. Is anybody going to get fired? Yada, yada, yada. Long story short, I did not watch the press conference. If I was a good podcaster, if we were good podcasters, we would have, right? The three of us all would have watched it and then had something to say, something intelligent, something outlined, nice and tight. It's not how we do it around here. I did get enough from the media, essentially, that said Brian Ferentz is going to be a part of the staff moving forward. Their coach Kirk Ferentz does not expect any staff changes at this point. That is what everybody wanted to hear. What a lot of people didn't want to hear, but it's the topic that everybody wanted to hear him talk about. And I know I hesitate to even ask this question or bring this topic up because I know how close we are to the situation and how much, frankly, all three of us even give a fuck. But did you guys have at all an opinion on BF still being the offensive coordinator if you thought there was a chance that Coach Ferentz would move on or Brian would try and find a different position after all the heat and just shit that he took this year? Or did you even care?
Wasn't expecting anything. I don't know. Were people actually expecting him to come out and announce changes today?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, and this would have been the time to, in my personal opinion, if changes were going to be made, they would have already have been made. And he would have had a separate press conference that was dealt with that and not on the recruiting signing day, which was the main piece today. So I kind of, by the time that we got to this point, we're in February now, kind of crazy. I did not expect any changes by now. But some people were definitely still holding out hope.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think if changes were going to be made, that they would have been made already. You know, is it possible changes still get made? I suppose, but
it's always possible.
Yeah.
Here, I'll start this off. I actually thought that there was like a 25-30% chance that they found a way to, you know, get Brian another job, have him, you know, craft the storyline. In no way was he ever going to was KF ever going to come out and say, yeah, Brian's fired. It's just not going to happen. But I thought that there was a 25-30% chance that
Brian would find an NFL job.
He elevates to the NFL, or he goes and decides to start head coaching a MAC program or a Sun Belt, but you know, something like that. I actually thought there was a decent amount of chance because, you know, if you look at the numbers, they haven't been good. We talked about him. He has been a bad offensive coordinator statistically. Now, that's not the whole story. I personally choose to believe that if you want to look at just offense in general under Coach Ferentz, it's certainly the weak side of the ball. Hard to be the strong side of the ball when Phil Parker and the boys are putting out the numbers that they do. But it has been
You see the graphic they put out on that, though?
Oh, it's a hell of a graphic, ain't it?
Dude. Dude.
I mean, damn near every defensive stat, they're number one over the last 5 years.
Yeah, oh, Philly P's been on lockdown, baby.
Dude, it is absurd and disrespectful that he has not won the Broyles Award, which is the award, the title that goes to the best assistant coach of the year, I believe. And so I apologize for the baby.
I mean, Kenley, shut up, dude. You know, this is happy hour and it's just unacceptable behavior.
This is her witching hour. She fucking gets pissed and she just ate too. She should be happy.
Like, dude, you just got given a free meal. What is there to be mad about? See, back to liberals, dude. Sitting on the street, getting free meals, doing drugs, and they're still mad? Raising your daughter blue?
Only you could relate the baby crying to free drugs on the street. I don't know.
Kevin completely threw off my train of thought too.
We were on Coach Brian.
Obviously, he's not going to get fired, dude.
Now, I will say that he did seem to be pulling out some new stuff in the bowl game.
It looked like it.
Like a little bit of new kind of concepts seemed to be coming out, and you know, to me, this is going to be a make it or break it year. I mean, Kluve, you mentioned his tenure has not been great as far as our offensive production over the last 4 years or whatever. Yeah, five. The last couple being especially bad. He's got a quarterback this year that we know is a capable quarterback. We've got a more experienced offensive line, which who knows how much better they'll be this year, but they'll be better, right? Hard to be worse. And we'll have some dudes to get the ball to. If there isn't a significant improvement this year, then I think we'll be officially on the we need to make some severe changes train.
You could not have echoed exactly my thoughts.
What if they don't block anybody again, though?
Then we have to reevaluate our offensive line coach. We have to reevaluate how we're recruiting offensive linemen and developing them, because if we at the University of Iowa for 3 years without people blocking people, I mean, like, what the fuck happened? That used to be the only thing we were good at on offense.
Right. Yeah, no, you speak to it pretty you said it pretty well there, Kev. I am a optimistic person, a more forgiving person than most people, and admittedly am going to be biased in the situation. I think I hold my bias pretty slimly. I don't, you know, I don't owe Brian shit. He doesn't owe me shit. I'm not connected to him anyway. In fact, I hardly talked to Brian when I was on the team, right? I hardly talked to any coaches that weren't Wallace or Woods. It's just the nature of it, right? You might see him in passing, have a quick conversation. I don't give a I'll stand here right now and say, I don't give a fuck if he gets fired or not. I emotionally am not attached to anybody. I like to look at the numbers and I like to look at the nuance of the situation. And I see this as a 3-strike rule. We've had 2 strikes. And arguably, those aren't on Brian. Some of it is. But the parts that you want to put on Brian, a lot of people have pointed out, were Greg Davis and Ken O'Keefe killers in the offensive game? Were they top 30 in offensive production? No, they just weren't.
I think our best year is like 2015. And we were in the 50s.
We were 57th, I believe.
Again, you have to take that with a grain of salt, though, because the way that we at Iowa play is like a little bit more complementary football, right? We're not out here to score as many points as possible. We're here,
and
we want to control the game, control clock, obviously put up scores every drive that we can. But we're not out here doing an air raid offense, either going 3 and out and 30 seconds off the board or scoring 90 seconds, right?
Yes.
So we're just not going to ever pace at the same way that those schools that run those schemes do. And I would argue 2015, we had a pretty good offense, right?
Damn good offense. I think
probably better than 50th in the country.
Yeah, if you do like
a total offense, then
in 2016 we had 2 1,000-yard running backs.
Right. If you came up with some stat for adjusted efficiency or adjusted something, we would be a little better. And I think the way that I mentally process what you just described there, Kev, was I think with Kirk at the helm, he's an old school guy. We're not going to be Texas Tech. We're not going to have these elite five-star athletes where we're air raid, just run and gun. I think our ceiling as an offense ever, right now, anymore, with the way that football has evolved and the coaches that we have, and people don't want to hear this, I think our ceiling might be somewhere in the high 30s, low 40s when you look at the entire country.
Well, yeah, if you're not like running hurry-up offenses, trying to catch defense off guard, you're never going to catch up to the offenses that do that, right?
Right.
But that can also – you could argue that the reason that Phil's had so much success at the same time is that our offense is very helpful to our defense in keeping them off the field.
Usually.
If they're getting first downs, then drives take up time. That means certainly less plays, less drives to the opposing team, means less yards given up, less points given up. Yeah. Now, you don't have to run our offensive scheme to embody that philosophy, right, of control clock, control the game.
Sure.
Put up points when you can, right? You can do that out of a different type of offense, and I think some teams have done that, and I think, honestly, my personal opinion, it's the best way to do it. Like Michigan last year was pretty much the embodiment of what we wanted to do, but they ran mostly spread offenses.
Yeah. And I think that's what a lot of people
have. They ran the ball, they controlled the game, and their defense was good. Now, they happened to put up 50 points a few times because they were playing some shitty opponents, and
worse than their offense was also
just really good, right?
Yeah. So anyway, I think of it as like a, you know, if our ceiling is, let's call it 35, 35th or 40th objectively in the country, you know, then I take off those top 40 teams and I think, okay, of the 90 left, if we're at 100th, you know, we're 60 below our, not that that matters. It doesn't, but it makes it a little better in your head when you realize that we're playing a style of football that isn't going to have, and arguably what Kevin just alluded to, we just talked about that defensive stat. Those defensive numbers are not the same if we all of a sudden implement an offense that's going to be first in the country in production. They would not be the same. You're never – I won't say never because it could happen. And some people have probably gotten pretty damn close. I'd love to know where Georgia was this year because they were pretty close to number one defensively in a lot of categories, I'm sure. And they were pretty damn good offensively too. But it is going to be absolutely a perfect scenario of recruiting. You're an absolute stud program, and everything falls in line where you're going to be able to churn out a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense. Only 10 teams could possibly do that in a year, and I would venture to bet that there might be one or two that do it a year. Maybe not any in some years. So regardless, all that to say, this never will be, or you know, even if somebody else comes in, the offensive coordinator just simply can't control 100% of the situation. Now, like what you guys said, offensive line has been paper thin the last 2 years. At this point, two strikes, sure, maybe it's not on Brian anymore.
Players.
But at some point, then you have to start looking at, well, then what? Like, it's still not acceptable after 3 years, right? 1 year, okay, you take a dip. This year was like, we're starting to ride the line. 3 years in a row, if that offensive line comes out next year and they are ass garbage, throw them away, then all bets are off, right? At that point, the whoever gets the head lopped off, well, you had 3 years. Right. Yeah. As a group, you had 3 years to get your shit together. I personally think that offensive line will be better. G Money's going to pull up a couple of graphics here in a second that
maybe allude to us adding to that offensive line. But I'm with you, Kev. If we go out and do the same kind of offense production next year and we can't score touchdowns and we can't block, like at that point, if I'm Brian, I probably want to fucking go somewhere else. Like, I mean, how long do you want to be ass and just get shit on? And I personally, I'd be out
for your own mental health too, right?
Absolutely. And so I think this is the year where now that KF comes out today and says 100%, I don't see any staff changes right now. Okay, fine. You're the head man, but you're to the point where this is it. This is your last hole card. And in 2023, if we aren't a decent offense and we can't score points on people, then there's basically going to be nobody left, including former players like us, who are going to have the back past maybe when the average person should, who are on the side of, yeah, keep doing the same thing. Fuck it. You know? Right? Like, cut some heads off. And in the end, don't listen to me, right? I don't give a fuck. I'm 28. I just run a podcast. Don't listen to me. But in my opinion, if you're going to ask me about it, yeah, start cutting some heads off. I mean, if you want to make change, that's probably a good way to do it. I agree, though. Now he's got Cade. Offensive line looks better on paper, hopefully on the field as well. Still got a couple studs at running back. Added a receiver or two. Defense is still going to be good. You're just running out of excuses, you know? My thoughts. Drake, you're probably, I know you're not going to.
We got to block somebody before it's somebody's fault other than that and our quarterback in my head. Like, quarterback wasn't great and our offensive line was absolutely pitiful. And until that changes, I got nothing.
And right, we talked about it last year, right? It's like, you know, sometimes as an offensive coordinator, you can, like, you know, play to your strengths and hide your weaknesses. Like, you know, if you're got a poor offensive line, just run a quick passing game. Well, guess what? We didn't have any strengths on offense last year. We did not have a viable receiving core. Our quarterback situation was shaky at best. There's no good thing that you could pivot to as an offensive coordinator.
Tight end was it. And we had
two good tight ends.
We milked the tight ends for all they were worth. They were our goddamn dairy farm last year.
Hey, you know what's crazy is that Sam Laporta and Monty are both training down in Nashville with Jeremy Hall.
I saw that.
That's pretty cool. Down at Lipscomb.
That's dope. Still pissed that Sam said he doesn't want to come on the podcast until the summer, but it is what it is. Side note, most of these guys now, I think here's where we're no longer relevant enough for the current guys is when we knew everybody coming out still in these first 4 years, I mean, we've already been a year out of this basically. The guys knew us enough where they're like, oh yeah, cool. I'll come on and talk to you. Now we've just crossed over the line with these guys where they're like, I'll come on the podcast, but I'm going to wait until after the draft happens just so I don't get fucked. You know, like, you guys aren't worth that much to me, right? Fucking dumbass podcast. I did see he was training with Holt, though. So we milked our tight ends, and that was our only bright spot. And we need a couple more bright spots is basically it. I'm encouraged. I'm optimistic. The spring will tell a lot, I think, but until they step on the field versus whoever our first opponent is next year, it's going to be hard to say.
Need a big winter. Need a big spring. Need a big summer. Big camp.
You know what we need?
Out of that entire offensive line group.
A lot of people don't hear this.
They need to be on their shit the entire offseason.
You know who they need? Say it with me, everybody at home. Chris Doyle. Oh, fuck, he's racist. Oh no, the podcast host is racist and can't get out of 2020. God damn it. Well, guess what?
Offensive line was better.
That's who we need. Grant, you want to pull up the big cat idea for me? We'll move on for now. there were some recruits that I think can generate a little bit of conversation. But we'll move on for now. I'm going to hide this overlay as Grant pulls up the Big Cat video here. Unbelievable idea by Big Cat. And I thought that this would be a nice little conversation topic on the podcast. Hopefully G Money has it loaded up here.
I have a long-standing idea that there should be every single player in every single sport gets to fight one fan a year. And they get to call them out from the stands, and the threat of violence. So you could just like pick the, like it'd be a small dude just talking shit to you, and you're like, come out here and get your ass whooping.
Is there an age limit for this or a minimum age requirement?
12 years old. You can't beat up anyone under 12 years old. That's fair, I think. I have a long-standing...
So now the problem with that is, though, is if you call out your person midway through the year, the fans are going to know they're free game the rest of the year.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You got to save that. You got to save that for the one.
So they said you get one free one. Well, what's the second one cost? You buy a second one?
You probably get banned from the league for beating up a fan.
I think if you're
like getting a 12-year-old fan,
if you're getting a free one, the second one's going to cost you a lot.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, because at that point they're like, "Hey, you know, we let you have one, but you just beat the shit out of a 57-year-old dude who was talking shit, and now you got to go to jail, right? Because you killed him."
Okay, now let me ask you this: on the free one, are there limits? Is there limitations on an ass beating?
I don't think
you can kill the person, Drake.
Yeah, I don't think you can turn it into murder.
Well, what if they just accidentally die?
That it is going to leave some stuff up to interpretation.
People don't usually just accidentally die, Drake.
But what if you fillet him with a left hook? Fillet him, and then boom, he hits his head on the way down. Secondary concussion syndrome, dead. Well, all you did was give him his two. You gave him the 2-3, bink, bink, and the floor did the rest.
In that case, you're probably going to be on IR until you wait for the coroner's report. And if it's determined that he died from the fall and not the punch,
but what's good to go. Because an ass beating is more than two punches, dude. I'm telling you. I've never gotten my ass beat in two punches ever, and I've had my ass beat.
But how many Drake Kulicks who know fucking BJJ?
Dude, in high school, I didn't know anything, and I took a couple ass beatings, and it still took two punches, more than two punches. So what I'm saying is, in a fan fight, if you just give him the 1-2 like he deserves for running his mouth like a bitch, and he dies from a 1-2, he's a bitch that should have died. So what are we doing here? That's not
Drake's murder. Calling it natural selection.
It's right. Hey, call hey, it Darwin. Like it, dude. Darwin was right.
Hey, Darwin, Charles, huh? Charles with the 1-2,
Chuck.
If you 1-2 them and it's that bad, you're going to know, because it's going to look like those highlight UFC videos where they go limp and they fall.
Right.
Right. I highly doubt you're going to kill somebody with that. And I think the clause has to be, hey, if they die, they die, you know, but I just think you're probably going to avoid most of that. Can you imagine how amazing it would be when the player decided to use his one, right?
There'd be a lot of things used all the time, though, because there's 120 of us and only 12 games. So that's 10 a day per side if we're counting.
I was going to say, in football, this would you might have to limit it to the starters. So there's only 44 a year. Specialists aren't going to give a shit to get in a fight with a fan. So give it to the 44 starters, or Jesus Christ, 22 starters. That would limit it to about two per game. And then it just becomes part of the sport, right? Instead of, like in soccer, they've got the yellow, they've got the red. Well, guess what? Referee in every sport now pulls out the purple card and everybody goes ballistic because they know somebody has chosen their
WWE music.
Someone has chosen their fan. And all of a sudden, and the cameras are in on it, man. All of a sudden, the cam operators zoom in, and there's like a team of people who grab the fan, who's been pointed out, and all of a sudden he's like, no, oh fuck. He's like looking around. They drag him onto the field and it becomes part of the entertainment. Oh my God.
And now it becomes the Coliseum.
The Coliseum. And dude, it would like, imagine how much better baseball games would be to watch. Now for them, it would really be a rare thing because those fuckers play like 160 games and there's only 9 starters. So maybe each of them get like 2 or 3. Cause I mean, but if you left it at 1 per 9 games out of the year, maybe you get crazy lucky and 2 guys choose the same game to do it. Maybe they choose the same fan. They go 2-1.
Same dude shows up and takes 2 ass beatings on the same night.
He gets fucked up in the third inning, and then all of a sudden,
back up, pumped,
all of a sudden, the seventh inning stretch hits, and they drag his ass back out onto the field.
Dude,
it's like
he shows back up to his wife's wedding ring on the table, and divorce paper is already signed.
It's like that video. I can't remember what they call the kid, but it's like he's the soccer goalie, and they keep dragging him out, and the ball keeps hitting him in the face.
Hitting him, yeah.
It's the comedy sketch of like he's just an elite. What was his name?
Scott Sterling.
Scott Sterling. Everybody search Scott Sterling right now. There's a volleyball one too version of him. Oh my God. Oh, that would make sports interesting, dude. Tennis?
I'm in.
Tennis, you get one every match.
One every tournament. I'd use mine in the finals.
In the just start the match with it. Really set the tempo.
And the fan is my opponent.
No, you can't do that. It's not UFC. Now, imagine UFC, though, right? Now it's death. It doesn't. You're already signing up for a fight. I don't think you can use it in UFC. Thought that was hilarious.
What else on the docket?
Tom Brady did officially retire. I think. For now. We had this conversation.
That's how much he hated his wife, bro. She said, if you play another year, I'll divorce you. So he plays another year just to get a free divorce, look like the football guy, when really all he wanted to do is divorce the broad. And then he.
I don't think that divorce is
right after.
Anywhere near free.
Oh, she's richer than him.
They had to. Rich, high profile people like that obviously are signing prenups.
And she's richer than him. So if anything, he made money off dumping that broad.
I would almost put my life savings that they signed a prenup.
I don't know, 20 years ago, whatever it was.
They were still, I think she was already a high-end model and he was already a 7 years in the league.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Tom Brady like was engaged to some chick and dumped her for Giselle.
I thought Lauren pulled up something today that looked like his first kid is with another woman.
Yeah, there you go.
And he's only 15. So Giselle was only, you know, less than, you know, 13 years ago. It's halfway through his career. He's a 10-year vet at that point. Find when Giselle and Tom got together, G-Money.
He had 3 Super Bowls already, for sure.
What I'm saying is they were both high profile already. We had a little clip on this the other day. Last year, he went through the whole fanfare. This year, he decided to get up on the beach and go take a little video. Very short, succinct. What a career, man. Absolute GOAT.
Looks like I'm seeing December 2006, they started hanging out. So
that sounds about right.
It does look like, according to, like, it's not like the best source ever, but I think there was a prenup from what I'm seeing.
Oh, nice. Good.
Investigative journalism there.
That is discovery right there by G-Money.
Why do we wait so long to get an intern?
Honestly, a great question.
The fuck was I going to say?
Something about the...
Something about Tom and Giselle banging?
Oh, yeah. The scenery kind of threw me off. Like, did he go out to the beach to record that video? Or was he just walking on the beach? He's like, I like walking on beaches. I think I'll do that more and play football less. And then just hit record.
I'd be done, bro. I would be done. Now, I understand he's the GOAT. Oh, we were going to talk about if he was the GOAT.
Yeah, it's unquestionable.
Which he is. It's undisputed.
Next question.
Yeah, it's he might be
the best athlete to ever perform. He's the best performer ever, potentially. Him, Bill Russell,
Phelps.
Is there anybody more undisputedly the GOAT than him?
Phelps.
It's hard to compare sports.
Didn't Lochte do like 7 in the last Olympics or something like that? Like he was dangerously close to Phelps' record.
Not sure for Grant. Look it up.
A guy named Caleb Dressel, Dressel.
Yeah, yeah, but he had a sick, but
he has
Phelps did it over yet. 4 different Olympics. Yeah. Man.
Okay.
Usain Bolt.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough when you start to get into these because how much is a race worth versus a whole season, a Super Bowl? It's hard to really equate those. But, when you see the graphic that Tom has 7 and it's more than 30 of the 32 teams have, you're like, what the fuck?
Well, if you just start looking at his playoff stats, there's a lot of NFL quarterbacks who would dream to have Tom career stats that Tom has just in the playoffs.
Absolutely. I think the most fun thing to look at is when they break down his, like they broke his career into like 8, 8, and 7 years.
Mm-hmm. And he has 3 Hall of Fame.
And each one of them is a Hall of Fame career. He's got like 3 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowls, like somewhere between 150 and 200 touchdowns in each of those 3 year
MVPs.
MVP, like it's wild.
Yeah.
By far and away. So interesting.
Held the single season touchdown record for a little bit. Has the most touchdown passes of all time, most passing yards of all time. I don't know how. Yeah. He's the GOAT. He's the NFL GOAT.
Undisputed. let's see where we at. Let's do this since I forgot to do this again. Jesus.
Do you guys think he actually comes back though?
No, I think he's done.
I think he's done.
So, and this is where I fucked up again. I meant to tell G Money at the beginning of the podcast to not let me go past like 20 minutes before we inserted the pork producer read. Boys, we're sponsored. We're sponsored by the pork producer.
Let's go.
We
should do something sick for the Floyd Rosedale game this year.
We should do a little something, assuming that they're on with us that long. Got some good feedback on the Pig Suit podcast. I think that would be something that would be pretty funny. There's something in the works where the boys might be getting a little pork vouchers on a monthly basis. Don't want to not nail the...
Better than cash, in my opinion.
Much better than cash.
So... we might be able to do something where we come
you
on.
You can't
here.
Launder pork vouchers.
I'm sure you could find a way. the Washington, and specifically, we're sponsored by the Washington County pork producers, who happen to be the largest producer of pork in Iowa and 2nd in the country. That's a lot of pork. That's a lot of piggies. It says on here, I have some talking points. It says, for those with Traegers, pellet grills, etc. With summer coming up, ribs, pork belly, pork burgers, loins, etc. are all crazy easy to grill and cook. You almost can't mess it up.
Almost.
So eat more pork. Eat more meat in general, but eat more pork. It's healthy. We'll talk about the health of the health stuff on some other stuff, but shout out to the pork producers. I think they're going to get us some merch so we can wear those on the podcast. They're going to get us some pork vouchers so we can eat more pork. And I'm sure there's some other fun stuff that we can do.
Rack of ribs, man. We'll cook it up and we'll have a podcast on it.
And just talk about ribs?
And just talk about, yeah, we'll turn this into a grilling podcast. Grilling, smoking.
Oh.
All that fun shit.
Kev's, that's like his dream. If he could just talk about meat.
Fuck yeah.
Sounds like a dream.
So Alyssa got me a pellet grill, not this last Christmas, but the previous Christmas, and it was a fun summer. Did a lot of smoking some meats.
I had a hell of a summer with my pellet grill. Well, if you have a pellet grill out there or a Traeger, Big Green Egg, any of that, put some pork on it, right? support the producers, right? And we'll continue to talk about them as things go on. So I don't know if you guys have seen this one, the clip of Arian Foster talking about how the NFL is scripted today. I don't know what he's talking about, but the memes and rumors, or like, I don't know, conspiracy that the NFL is scripted is going around out there. And I found an all-time meme that it made me laugh. Grant, if you could pull up the NFL script meme. If not, your internet says it's like a 4 out of 10 right now. So if you can't, I will do it. But boys, this was... It's rare you come across one of those things. Oh, there we go. This is a reason to watch the podcast if you haven't. But
that's wrong.
So I'll try and describe it best I can for the audio listeners, which is most of you. So it's a guy in a boardroom, and he's kind of side-eyeing the guy sitting next to him, and he's looking at his laptop, and it's the most like, I don't know how to describe.
Shitting me face.
It's most are you shitting me disgust face that you could have. Eye roll, and it just says Alex Smith in the table read for week 11, 2018. Oh my God, dude. I laughed out loud for a couple minutes when I saw that, and I immediately thought, yeah, we're putting that on the docket tonight. Fuck, that was funny.
Guy almost died, almost lost his leg. Did you guys ever watch, there's a, I think there's a
30 for 30.
No, it's like an E60. On it. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Unbelievable. That's a good, whoever came up with that tweet was, that's fucking good. Let's talk about some of these recruits, transfers, incoming people. So again, with the second signing day, we've got all these guys. Will you bring up, Grant, the Iowa football thing or Twitter account now? We'll read off some of these. We got a couple people to flip. Got a couple Josie Jewell situations. I don't know if they're going to be Josie Jewell. They probably won't be because most people aren't. So look at Grant's internet just working hard as hell. Won't even load the profile. I'll see if I can't pull it up. We got to get Grant some internet. We're like, this is like Jake Gervais's house around here. You're good, Grant. I'm going to share this. So let's see if I can. So these are the guys we got last month. Seth Anderson is that wide receiver that's coming in. Looks like he went to the same high school as Tyler. What was the fuck that kid's name that just was a... Tyler Goodson. Wow. That shows how my memory is. Jackson Filer, Deacon Hill. He's that quarterback that came from Wisconsin or whatever. Got this Austin Kutcher guy. He's like a transfer from Ohio State, the Ohio State. So maybe he's worth a shit at receiver. Maybe he's able to catch some touchdowns for us. I'm not sure. This guy's a transfer from Dort College, tight end, evidently doing some damage in that arena. And then we got this Dejon Parker guy. He was like Saginaw State or something. Offensive lineman, senior transfer. So, I mean, we got a couple guys around here coming in. Then we had a tight end commit. This guy who played at Miami of Ohio. He's a senior. He looks
need
like that.
Need senior offensive lineman.
He's supposed to be pretty good. And we got, you know, Barnett had the connection because that's where Barnett was before Iowa. So with the Dejon Parker guy, or not sure how you say his name, Rusty Feth, we got a couple guys coming in, a little reinforcements, some senior.
Rusty Feth sounds like a nasty motherfucker.
Yeah, that's what we should, doesn't he?
You should see him. He looks like his name sounds. Let's just put it that way. See if I can't find...
Yes, there we go. Does
find another better picture of him.
Doesn't look like you're going to find one.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to find one. So I'm going to have to go with this one right here. That's him. I mean, just looks awesome. Yeah, he looks like a third Paulson brother.
Yep.
Looks like a grimy bastard, and he's big. I know Barnett's big, and he's bigger than Barnett. So, you know, maybe we got some reinforcements. But then I see this. Let's see if we can't Grant, if you're in it, it's working. Go for it. If you already have that Wetsinga. Oh, dude, it just came up because he followed us. Wetsinga followed us, by the way, today. This is this kid who tweeted out today, 10 hours ago, change of plans. He was committed to some Southern Illinois on a full scholarship and said, fuck it. I'm going to Iowa and I'm going to be a fullback.
He doesn't know what he just signed up for.
And that was the exact question that I was going to ask you, Drake, was does this guy actually know the full layout of
not if they do it like they did it when guys were young, dude, because the first 2 years that I played fullback there, I took enough B plays to be a dead man, dude. I'm telling you.
I don't.
How many guys do we actually usually bring in as a fullback, though?
None.
Not many.
Well, I think Monty was a fullback, though, wasn't he?
I think Monty might have been the first one in like a long time that wasn't a
Lane Aker was a fullback.
Drake, would you have still gone to Iowa knowing that you were going to be turned into a fullback?
Yeah, 100%, because I sat in Coach Morgan's office with my dad, and they were talking about how they didn't have a fullback. They were going to move over this linebacker named Macon Pleva. They had this guy named Adam Cox who was they were going to try it fullback, but they didn't even have a fullback. And, yeah, dude, I told him right then, I was like, I'll play fullback. I don't care. I just want to be a Hawkeye.
Okay. Now, would you have gone to Iowa if you knew how your body was going to feel and what practices, what those were going to be like as you sat in that office?
That's such a hard question because I was an 18-year-old kid with a massive ego. So I'd have just told you, yeah, I'll be just fine. Like, I'll show you. I'll be just fine. So, but yeah, I'm
probably a 28-year-old man looking back.
Yeah, it sucked. I'm telling this podcast, this poor little 18-year-old bastard has no idea what he just signed up for. If he still has to do it like I did it in 2014, early 2015, it was tough.
This is a message to Rusty Van Wetsinga IV.
He signed, right? He's stuck.
I think so.
But if you're a walk-on, it doesn't matter.
I mean, he's a walk-on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Rusty, start doing your neck work, right?
Do your neck work.
Right? You're going to want to probably use that inversion table once or twice a day. Follow Drake. And just, you know, maybe observe the kind of human that he's become.
Try to go find some old social media posts pre-fullback. You know, he's actually kind of a normal dude. And
take a look at
the brain.
Try and find all of the fullback plays. Go back. There's a lot of full 60-minute games on YouTube. Take a look at what the fullback does, huh? You know? And
like,
now
he played fullback at Pleasant Valley, which is actually a pretty fun position to play. Like they run the wing T. The fullback gets handed the ball as much as they do at West Point. Like he got 20 some carries a game, I'm sure. He was probably all state getting 20 some carries a game, dude. He had the life as a fullback at Pleasant Valley.
Well, if you're getting 20 carries a game, you're a running back.
Right. He's just running back and put his hand in the ground. Right.
Yeah, you're not a fullback. Like we're talking fullback.
And the linebackers hit harder at Iowa than they do in the MAC.
What?
They do, I'm telling you.
This dude's never been hit as hard as he's gonna be hit day one in his life.
Dude, just remember how hard Aaron and Amani and Brady all hit. When they got there, they were full of that just testosterone, piss, and vinegar rage. And wow, did they hit hard. Jesus Christ.
Who was the hardest hitter in a game? Was it Juwan Bentley?
He hit hard, but he didn't even hit you hard, man, because he knew he didn't hit you. Because he knew as hard as you were going to hit him, he could still just stand there and make a decision. He just didn't move. Jerome Baker hit me really, really hard. Man, nobody hit harder than Anthony Gare, though.
Really?
Jesus Christ.
Gare was a brick wall, huh?
And Chauncey Golston. He used his head. Oh, on every inside or outside zone play, Chauncey just came in with his head, and it felt like I got hit with a cannonball directly inside of my head.
This kid, I don't want to be that guy, but I mean, this young lad is signing up for.
Dude, I actually, Johnny Loudermilk kind of changed my life, my trajectory of my life when I was a freshman. He hit me so hard. I think I changed as a human.
This man is signing up to be on the scout team and go against whatever absolute stallions that Philly and the boys have on that defensive side of the ball in the starting roles.
Mm. But that's nothing compared to the Devo.
Yeah. Does he? That's the thing is, I don't know if this guy.
5 years, fellas. 5 years don't go by that quick when you're thinking about the practices.
I applaud this young kid so much, and he gets to go live a dream, right? He made that decision. We all could have gone somewhere else, but we chose to walk on. Sure this did. Guy's got this guy's got a little fabric that we got. Same
He's got
cloth.
Some balls. Turned down a full scholarship to go walk on. It's tough.
So in about 6 years, he's going to start a podcast, and people.
And he'll probably beat me in that too, because his old man's like 3-0 against my little bitch ass. So why wouldn't he start a more successful podcast after being a better fullback? That would just make sense. 5-0 him, 5-0.
I hope nothing more than in a couple years we can hear about how Rusty Van Wetsinga the fourth is bulldozing people in the Big Ten, but I feel for him and what he's about to go through in those practices. I hope they get him a custom helmet fast.
Hey, that helmet that George is rocking this year, it looks like it's got an extra car airbag in the front of it.
Seriously.
Head on collisions. That thing was sweet. I'd have loved one of those.
Final topic for tonight, for those that are the true hard fans around here. On the other podcast 2 days ago, we talked about Stetson getting a little thirsty down in Texas this past weekend. And that sparked a conversation about how many people end up actually, you know, falling into Stetson's role there and getting a ticket related to alcohol in college/their 20s. And I am blown away by the number.
What did I tell you, dog?
I think it ended at somewhere around 70-30. 30%.
Two-thirds of people are clean. A third of all people are getting alcohol-related tickets in their 20s.
Now, let's...
There was 1,500 people or something that voted on this.
Our fandom population is not that of the normal population. Let's stipulate that.
You're telling me you don't think a bunch of normal college dudes turned 25-year-old, 30-year-olds who listen to our podcast? Because I think that's exactly who listens to our podcast.
No, that's right. That is what I'm telling you is exactly listens to our podcast. You said 25% of like the whole population.
Right, because the whole population has at one point been in their 20s.
Well, that's not
what I'm saying.
I think there is – here's what I'm saying.
That University of Iowa students and past students probably are a little bit higher on the yes category than that of the general population of the United States.
I was just going to say the same thing. I think you know, our brand, who our demographic is, we might lean a little towards the side of people who are more likely, especially us being a heavily male dominated. I think last time I checked, our
I said males, right? That was a stipulation of the.
Just asked the question. Arguably, many of the people who answered some of these replies, by the way, on this tweet are unbelievable. But yeah, we ran this poll. 1,300 people answered, and 29.2% have gotten a ticket. That blows my mind. Some of these people thought,
dude, my homie Jared has 3 Paulas. I watched one of them. He had a whole gallon of jungle juice in a gallon jug walking down the street, and the cops stopped him and asked him what it was. And Jared told him it was Kool-Aid. And then the cop's like, well, if I put a test strip in this, is it going to say it's Kool-Aid? And Jared's like, nah.
This is my favorite response right here. Scott Wubbin. Skip straight to DUI my junior year at Iowa. No Paula or public intox. Just got the big one. Dressed as Jesus for Halloween that night. A little karma, maybe.
Wow.
What an unbelievable response.
It's tough. I heard the newies hurt.
Some of these people were like, there's no way that people haven't gotten at least one. And I'm sitting here like, and again, I'm just, I live a different life. It just never was what I did.
I'm with you on this one. I also don't have
it. None of us. We're 0-3 on the podcast.
Yeah. Kevin loves his sauce, but he just knows how to sauce responsibly.
He's a responsible saucer.
It's all that matters. You are
Kevin Ward, also, Kevin. Responsible at saucing. Put it on a shirt. I believe he's talking to somebody too.
He's on the phone.
Yep. So that's going to wrap it up tonight. Appreciate everybody being here. Sorry for that fucking baby in the background. That's my life right now. You guys got that for like 15 minutes? Dude, that is what we're doing around here. And I want to let you know that we're killing it, right? We're absolutely murdering it. Baby girl is just... she's one in a million. Episode 391. Watch Up Walk-Ons. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Till then. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.